Hello everyone, welcome to JTalk Extra Time. I'm John Steele. For this midweek mini-pod, I'm going to round up the midweek action from J2. There was another full round of fixtures on Wednesday night. If anybody's still counting, that was round 23. Now, the leaders, Tokushima, went 7 games unbeaten and 2 points clear at the top. They won 1-0 away in their big match against Nagasaki on Wednesday night. This was a tight game, both sides looking pretty tired. To be honest, that was the story in a lot of the midweek games this week. I think maybe that long, hot and humid summer, playing 3 games in most weeks, catching up with a lot of players and a lot of teams at the moment. The winning goal in this game came in the 89th minute. A poor kick from the Nagasaki goalkeeper Kenta Tokushige gifted possession to Takaru Kishimoto, and his right wing cross was converted by Masaki Watai. I mentioned this was a pretty flat game, but Masaki Watai, as usual, was really impressive, and he was rewarded scoring that late winner. So Tokushima winning 1-0 away at Nagasaki. Yes, Tokushima very much in pole position. Nagasaki now 4th, 5 points adrift of the promotion places, and winless in their last 8 matches, so still a lot of work for the coach Makoto Teguramori to do there. Girovansk Kitakyushu stay 2nd, but now they're winless in 3 matches. They drew 1-1 away at Machida in midweek. No Akira Disaro in the Kitakyushu squad again for this game, so I think we can assume he's injured rather than just being rested. Nevertheless, Kitakyushu had a perfect start in the 4th minute. Naoki Tsubaki scoring from Daigo Takahashi's perfectly weighted through ball, so Kitakyushu 1-0 up early on. The visiting goalkeeper, Kengo Nagai, made a great save from Taiki Hirato before half-time as well. That would have been a fantastic team goal for Machida. But the home side did earn a penalty on a trademark quick counter-attack in the 52nd minute. Mizuki Ando was brought down by Kazuya Okamura inside the box, and Ando dusted himself down and scored the spot kick himself. I'm not sure if you could call this a Panenka penalty. I think Panenka was definitely what Ando was going for, but I'm not sure he got the cleanest contact. I'll have to put that down as a Panenka-ish penalty. It was kind of clipped down the middle of the goal. So, yeah, Panenka-ish is the best description I can offer. You have to check it out for yourselves. So Machida won, Kitakyushu won, it finished. Kitakyushu, as I mentioned, stay 2nd. Machida in 15th place. Not playing badly, but 2 defeats and 4 draws from their last 6 games. So it's a while since there was a win for Ranko Popovic's men. One team not short of a win at the moment are Fukuoka. They're up to 3rd place now after an 8th straight win, this time 1-0 at home against Tochigi. Very ballsy move from the coach Shigetoshi Hasebe on the Fukuoka side, changing 9 players in the starting lineup from the last game. They do say never change a winning team, but he obviously has no truck with that adage. So yeah, Fukuoka winning 1-0 at home to Tochigi. The Fukuoka midfielder and one of the 9 changes, Toshiki Toya, had to go off with an injury before half-time in this one, and Takaki Fukumitsu came on, and that was serendipitous because Fukumitsu scored the winner with a nicely flighted free kick with just 8 minutes left on the clock. I think possibly the Tochigi goalkeeper, Obi, might be disappointed that the ball went in on his side of the goal, the goalkeeper's side of the goal, rather than on the wall side. But nevertheless, it was a really good free kick and a worthy winner. Tochigi hold on to 8th place in the table, and to be honest, they might not be too disappointed with this result. Fukuoka playing so well with a lot of confidence at the moment, they might have anticipated a tough match and possibly defeat before kickoff. Some other games we should talk about. Not many goals around in the midweek games. I think that ties in a little bit with the what I was saying about teams looking a bit tired and a bit flat after so many games in quick succession. One goalless draw came at Chugin Stadium. Kofu 0, Tokyo Verde 0. So Kofu stay in 5th. It's a 5th successive draw for them. Verde are in 9th place. In this game, there was an excellent performance from the Verde goalkeeper, Mateus, Brazilian keeper, who repelled wave after wave of Kofu attacks. I think Kofu definitely deserved to win this game, but just couldn't find a way through. We should mention that Kofu went one better than Fukuoka. They changed 10 players from their starting lineup from the weekend game, so that probably contributed to them being a bit disjointed at times. They also wore their snazzy third kit or special summer uniform for this game. Apart from that, there wasn't a great deal to say about this match. Fantastic rear guard action from the Verde goalkeeper Mateus to keep this game 0-0, and Kofu probably should have won. But yeah, 0-0 it finished. There was also a goalless draw at Fukuda Denshi Arena. It's not often that Jeff Chiba are involved in a goalless draw, but they did have one in this round. It was Chiba 0, Kyoto 0 at full time, a result that leaves Kyoto in 6th and 10 points adrift of the promotion places right now. Jeff are in 14th place in the table. To be honest, it looks like another wasted season for them. This was an extremely low quality game, from my point of view, based on the highlights that I saw. The only thing really to mention is that the Jeff striker Kengo Kawamata had to go off with an injury before half time, which looked reasonably innocuous, but also quite serious at the same time. It's kind of a shoulder problem, possibly a broken collarbone, just by the way he was holding his body as he went off. But I expect him to be out injured, possibly for a little while. Kyoto, one defeat in the last seven, and I think they'll probably be happy to keep a clean sheet after losing 4-2 at home to Omiya last time out. Jeff, only one defeat in the last five, so you might say they're looking a bit more solid than they were earlier on in the season. So, 0-0 it finished between Jeff and Kyoto. Albirex Niigata are up into 7th place. They won for the first time in 5 matches on Wednesday night, 1-0 away at FC Ryukyu. Niigata nearly scored in the 4th minute. Koki Kazama, the Ryukyu midfielder, blocked Silvino's shot close to the goal line, which is good defending. But that led to a corner and chaos in the inside the penalty area, and Romero Frank was able to bundle the ball in for Niigata after Michael James had hit the post. So Niigata won that game 1-0, 7th place for them. For Ryukyu, they're in 18th, nothing to panic about, but 23 points from 23 matches. They're probably hoping that to pick up a few more points to improve that kind of average soon. Some other big stories from round 23. There was a second successive victory for Omiya. Just a sense that maybe Stuart and I were a bit quick to write them off for promotion. I don't know. They're up to 10th place at the moment. They won 2-1 at home against Mito, coming from behind and winning for the second successive game, just like they did away at Kyoto in the last round. Mito were 1-0 up at half-time in this game after a goal from Jelani Rishon Sumiyoshi, the centre-back who scored from a corner in the 18th minute. But Omiya hit back straight after the restart. Kanji Okunuki finishing off a very nice team move in the 48th minute to make it 1-1. Okunuki almost danced his way through to score a second goal as well later on in the half. Omiya eventually got their winner in second half stoppage time. Hiroto Hatao squeezing the ball just inside the post after a corner kick from Akinari Kawazura. Okunuki and Hatao, by the way, both scoring for the second consecutive game. They got goals in that pretty incredible win at Kyoto in the previous game. So Omiya 10th, Mito in 13th. There are four teams on 30 points in that kind of lower middle section of the table, and Mito are one of those. Zweigen Kanazawa are up into 11th. They won for the first time in 7 matches, 1-0 away at Matsumoto. So there was no dream home debut for the new Matsumoto manager, Kei Shibata. Matsumoto down in 21st place, which would be the relegation zone in old money. But obviously there's no relegation this year, so they're safe and just their pride is at stake. No wins in any of their last 6 matches. Kanazawa had the better of the chances in this game. They had a corner kick which clipped the top of the crossbar in the first half, and Takayuki Takayasu saw his shot spilled against the post by the Matsumoto goalkeeper Kentaro Kakoi in the second half as well. I think the key to this game was Kanazawa making a double substitution in the 71st minute. Lucao, the Brazilian forward, and Towa Yamane, another striker, came on. And Lucao made an instant impact. He was able to head home the winner for Kanazawa at the second attempt, just 8 minutes after coming on. I have to say it was pretty poor goalkeeping from Kakoi, who sort of flapped at a high ball and presented the chance to Lucao in the first place. So Lucao heading in the winner for Kanazawa, 1-0 away at Matsumoto, his 7th goal of the season. He probably had more if he hadn't been out injured for a month or so as well. And Matsumoto, second from bottom, and still with a lot of work to do, I think. Kanazawa will be very pleased to get that first win in 7. Okay, I've talked for 10 minutes without mentioning the kind of the biggest J2 story of the week, I guess. Iwata now in 12th place, no wins in any of their last six games. They were completely dismantled on Wednesday evening. They lost 3-0 away at Yamaguchi, a great win for Yamaguchi, which moves them up to 19th place in the table. It's also their third win in their last four, so they're coming into a little bit of form just at the midway point of the season. So yeah, Yamaguchi 3, Iwata 0. Pretty dreadful performance from Iwata, to be honest, and really well taken goals from Yamaguchi. First half headers from Ren Komatsu and Hennick put Yamaguchi in control here. Kazuma Takai added a third goal just after half time to put the result beyond doubt. Yeah, wretched night for Iwata. Lots of rumours swirling this morning or the second half of this week that the Iwata boss, Spanish coach Fernando Hubero, is going to be fired soon. I've also seen some rumours that Masakazu Suzuki, former Niigata manager, is being touted to replace him. Not the most inspiring appointment in the world if it does come to pass, but I think, yeah, there was a real lack of energy and, to be honest, desire from Iwata in that Wednesday night game, so I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of Iwata fans think anybody would be an improvement on Hubero at the moment. At the time that I'm recording this, there's no official announcement, so it seems like possibly Hubero will still be in charge for this weekend's games, but yeah, it looks like his days might be numbered. Another juicy rumour about Iwata that's going around is that the Gamba Osaka and Japan national team legend Yasuhito Endo might be joining on loan. It seems like a weird one because its central midfield is not the problem area for Iwata at the moment. It's centre back where they have the issue. I don't think he's gonna help them much there unless the idea is to use him as a screen for the centre backs. But yeah, again, not officially announced yet, but there's usually no smoke without fire. Iwata could have a new manager and possibly Yasuhito Endo in the squad on loan from Gamba Osaka by the time we record another pod. There were also plenty of goals in the game between Gunma and Yamagata. Yamagata eventually winning 4-1 here. Yamagata took a 4th-minute lead through Shuhei Otsuki with a simple header at the back post, but Gunma were level at half-time thanks to a volley from Toshiya Tanaka. Yamagata then went goal crazy, scoring 3 times in 10 minutes midway through the second half. There was a really well-taken brace from Yuya Yamagishi, real Rolls-Royce of a player when he's on his day. Yeah, flicked header and then a really nice shot into the roof of the net. And a towering header from Yuta Kumamoto was Yamagata's 4th goal. So yeah, they ended up winning 4-1 away at Gunma. A second straight win for Yamagata, which lifts them a little bit in the table to 16th place. Gunma, 3 straight defeats for them, and they're rock bottom. So they had a mini revival a few rounds ago, but it looks like they're back, reverting to type just at the moment. Last and probably least for the round 23 action, Ehime won 1-0 away at Okayama. Ehime's first win and first goal in 7 matches, so I imagine there's probably Ehime fans are still nursing hangovers, even as I record this on Friday. A win for Ehime that moves them into 20th place, with Okayama in 17th, again, a little bit like Jeff United, probably a wasted season for Okayama at this point. Ehime left it very late to grab their winner. The substitute striker, Corky Arita, headed in with just 2 minutes left for the crucial goal. And I noticed that the referee blew the full-time whistle with Okayama just getting ready, or they just earned a corner. I'm sure this is the second time this has happened recently. I can't remember the match, but there was another game, home game for Okayama, where they were losing, got a corner kick, and the referee blew the full-time whistle. So, yeah, I don't think it's a conspiracy. I think Okayama should just try harder to create chances in the first sort of 90 minutes. Don't wait for stoppage time at the end of the second half. But if there is a conspiracy, yeah, you heard it here first. Okayama missing the chance to have a penalty right. A corner, not a penalty. A corner right at the end of this game. But yeah, good to see Ehime winning a match for the first time in a good long while. I think there's just time before I disappear to talk about the weekend action that's coming up in round 24. 3 games on Saturday, October the 3rd. Tokyo Verdy host Omiya in a kind of a J2 Kanto Bites derby, I suppose, at Ajinomoto. Ehime host Yamaguchi. And the leaders, Tokushima, will entertain FC Ryukyu. That's first place hosting 18th place. The rest of the fixtures are on Sunday, So we have Yamagata against Matsumoto, Mito hosting Okayama, Gunma against Jeff Chiba, Niigata against Machida, and some of the teams in the top six at the moment. So there's Kanazawa against Kofu, so 11th place hosting 5th place. One game to keep an eye on, Iwata versus Kyoto. Now that's 12th place versus 6th place. But as I mentioned, it's not clear yet whether Fernando Hubro will still be in charge of Iwata for this game or whether Yasuhito Endo might have been added to the squad. I should also mention this game is being played at Ekopa Stadium, the kind of gigantic stadium in Shizuoka that's built for World Cup 2002, not Iwata's regular Yamaha Stadium. Whether this will help or hinder Iwata, I'm not sure. Venues are decided way in advance, but this weekend, the first weekend in October, J-League clubs can allow more supporters into the stadium. Some of the coronavirus restrictions are being lifted, so I think, you know, some stadiums will be operating at 50% capacity. Possibly that's the case at Ekopa, I'm not sure, so maybe that there'll be more fans in the stadium. Perhaps that will help Iwata. Considering how low on confidence they are right now, it could be a hindrance, so that'll be interesting. And the game of the weekend is really Fukuoka hosting Kita Kyushu, I think, isn't it? Third against second, a Kyushu derby. And Fukuoka are currently on that run of 8 straight wins, which is an equal club record, I believe. So obviously if they win this match, it'll be a new club record of 9 straight wins. I think if you're going to watch one game over the weekend, Fukuoka against Kita Kyushu on Sunday is the one to watch. I'll also give a shout out to the last game on the slate, Tochigi hosting Nagasaki, 8th place versus 4th place. Now, Nagasaki are not in the best of form at the moment, as we know. It wouldn't be beyond the realms of possibility for Tochigi to spring a surprise and maybe get something, maybe even 3 points out of that game. So I think it's worth keeping an eye on that match as well. All right, I think that's all for this midweek mini pod. Hopefully that was a good roundup of the midweek J2 action for everybody. I'll be back together with Stuart Smith, my regular co-host, I think next week to go through the J2 and J3 action from the weekend, just as soon as we can digest it all and kind of gather our thoughts. It's been a kind of hectic few months for sure on the J-League football front. Just finally before I leave you, thanks as always for listening, downloading, if you're a Patreon as well. You know, Stuart and I, we often, hopefully we say this often enough, but we really appreciate the support that you guys give us. As a kind of thank you for that, we do have a Patreon exclusive video which is live right now. Stuart and I separately chose our J2 teams of the season so far. So we picked 11 players each that we think would have made a good team, kind of from the most impressive players we've seen so far this season. So that, I think, is about 40 minutes. It's a video. You can watch that online now if you're a Patreon subscriber. If you're not a Patreon subscriber, you want to see how bald I am, then you can check out the video if you just become a Patreon and join the club. Yeah. All right. Okay, everyone, enjoy the football over the weekend. That's all for me. And Stuart and I will be back together to talk about some J-League football next week. So, enjoy the weekend. That's all for now. And take care.